night. My show is every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen to it live or later on the archive. I run on over to facebook.com/angelradionetwork to post your questions, and be sure to like the page as well. Really appreciate that, and I'll be checking in there later for your questions. As the founder of the Angel Radio Network, I really want to tell you what we're all about. So back in October of 2012, I was taking a certification class with Doreen Virtue, and I was instructed by my angels to put together a radio network. At first, I resisted. In fact, I resisted for 3 weeks, and I finally put it together, and then we launched in December last year, and it took off. It's been a really steep learning curve, and there's been bumps along the way and everything, but the point is that we're giving a platform to all light workers so that they, and I consider a light worker anybody who wants to make the world a better place, and it's a platform for people who do want to make the world a better place and who really want to shine their light. So if this resonates with you and it's something that you've thought about having a radio show, send me an email to info@angelradionetwork.com and we'll get you started. Because the motto here is we're changing the world by enlightening the world one radio show at a time. So, and I'm really proud about that one because I thought that up myself. Okay, so today I watched a movie called Happy. And it's by Tom Shadyac, and it's on Netflix. And I didn't realize this, that he had put out another movie, until I saw it in my Facebook news feed. And, of course, it was from my guest, which it makes total sense, of course, that she would post that because she's all about being happy. So if you're on the very popular Facebook page, Peace, Love, Joy, and Sparkles, you'll see that Jenny's nonstop affection for life and fun just draw people to her. She is their sparkle guru, and she's Jennylicious, and she shines like the brilliant sunglass-wearing deep thinker sex pot that she is. And she is literally pregnant with possibilities and a baby. And she's that very cool chick that you want to know and get to know. And because she speaks your language and she's been through a lot of crap in her life and pulls no punches, she tells it like it is, and she's really authentic. I just love that about her. And I love to read her posts. She's always posting something really deep. Like today she posted, "What if you just loved yourself? Nothing to judge, nothing to change, nothing to fix. What if you were perfect now? What if you are what if you are perfectly you? Now, doesn't that feel fabulous?" So I wouldn't have thought of putting that together, so I love hearing her inspiring words. And the Illuminating Love radio show is all about self-love and learning how we can love ourselves unconditionally. And tonight's guest is here to talk with me tonight about self-love, loving ourselves, learning how to have unconditional love. She's also going to tell us about her book, The Jennifers, that she published in December of 2012. She is known as the silly, sassy, spiritual sex pot behind the Peace, Love, Joy, and Sparkles movement. So please welcome Jenny G. as in gratitude, Perry. Hi.
Hi.
I got to hit the applause button. Are you feeling Jennylicious today?
I am. I got my pink and my sparkles on. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you said that you have it's your uniform, right? Pink and sparkles.
Yes.
Yeah, mine too.
I think you should, like, you should really think about what colors make you feel good. Because when you wear them, like, I just posted, I got these, like, $4 red cat eye sunglasses the other day. And it's like, you look in the mirror and you're just like, it's just so fun. It makes you feel good. So I think people take things too seriously sometimes. And it's like, just have fun. And if people think you're weird, oh, well, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that about you. And so how did you get to be, I called you brave and fearless on Instagram, and that's really how our friendship started. And so I just thought you were so fearless. I think you posted a before and after picture of yourself in a bikini, and I was like, that chick is fearless. So how did you get the confidence to do things like that? How do you do that?
Well, I love that word, fearless. I think that's so cool. You know, I think that for me, it's like I almost lived in, a prison of, you know, I was defined by the way everyone else thought about me. And every decision that I made in my life was affected by, go through the little registry in my head about what people would think. Even my kids, my husband, my mother, my father, my sister, my friends. And it's like, then, you know, there comes a point where you're like, who even am I? You know, like, who am I? What do I like? And I just kind of abandoned that. And I say that I really created myself. And it's kind of like I retrained myself how to think. And the way I used to think was all these, you know, not good enough, you know, very, very negative thinking. And that just was not working for me. And I started to read, I think it really started with Wayne Dyer. And the idea that when you change your thoughts, you change your life. And I was like, really? Because I'm thinking, no, I'm like, I'm going to be happy when I'm thinner, when I'm richer, all this stuff. When that person stops being a jerk, when, you know, like, when my kids behave, all these things outside of myself. And the concept of, like, really thinking about my own thoughts and, like, that I could be my own worst enemy, I was like, oh, wow, okay. And then, like, observing my thoughts. Like, when you observe your thoughts and they're negative, you're like, I can't believe that I really say this kind of stuff to myself. And I decided to stop thinking like that. And, you know, it goes along with, like, affirmations. But affirmations are great and all, but it's, like, it's really, it's observing your little soundtrack that's going on all day long.
Yeah.
Because just like you can read affirmations. Thing. Exactly. Because you can read affirmations, and that's great. But, like, what do you think about all day long? Like, the whole, you know, the other 24 hours and, you know, some odd minutes, you know, like, what are you thinking about then? And now, if I have friends of mine that'll say things like, you know, negative about themselves, I'm like, would you stop it? Like, now I'm so aware of the way I even hear other people talk about themselves that you won't hear me. Like, I might make a joke or, you know, something, but I don't talk negatively about myself. I just, there might be something that I want to tweak or change, but like I said, the perfectly me thing. I think that the idea of you're never going to be the perfect mother or the perfect wife or any of those, like, ideas, because they're just ideas. But what if you really think of the idea that you're perfectly you? Because I am. I'm perfectly me. And that's, like, that's all I can ever be is perfectly me. But it kind of, like, I don't like the idea of saying, well, I'm imperfect, because that kind of doesn't feel right to me. I like the idea that, like, I'm perfect, whole, and complete. But it's, like, word perfect can be misconstrued, just like you and I were talking about the word selfish. And so I'm like, I'm perfectly me. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really, I retrained myself how to think is really what it came down to.
Awesome. I love Wayne Dyer too, by the way. So, I mean, that's, you and I are right on target together with that. And I love what you said. You created yourself. I created myself is what you said. So I love that. You really did reinvent yourself. And I think you even posted something about that also later today on Facebook about reinvention. And it sounds like based on the book that you wrote, The Jennifers, did you sort of reinvent yourself while you were writing the book and then since writing the book?
Definitely. What happened was, is in the process of writing The Jennifers, I think I was really yearning for, like, some awesome friendships, and so I decided to create them. And also, in the process of writing it, I became pregnant with my fourth child. Now I'm pregnant with number five. Like, I sound like I can't even believe I just said five. I lost five kids. But,
I think it's great. So in I the think process, they're lucky to have you as – let me just tell you. I think they're lucky to have you as their mommy. So I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. I feel so blessed. I'm like – I feel so, so, so blessed. But so when I became pregnant with my fourth child, I did a lot of introspection. Like, for me, whenever I'm pregnant, it's not just giving birth to a baby, but giving birth to a new me. And I feel like I go really within myself. And sometimes it's meant, like, I kind of isolated myself from people and kind of kept my energy clear. And I didn't realize that I did that until I look back. Like, my son... my 12-year-old, he's my second child, I realized I kind of really did, like, on this unconscious level, keep my energy really clear. Because I do feel like when you're pregnant, you know, you should never yell at a pregnant woman. You shouldn't be in a negative environment. I do think it affects the baby. But I also just you know, surround myself with positive people and, you know, I'm conscious of my energy all the time now. But so I think, you know, being pregnant the last time and doing all the writing, we wound up moving. And we just moved, like, you know, in the same town but, like, 15 minutes away. And I kind of just feel like there was, like, this kind of separation. And I just kind of it's like little steps like that. And I think because I was more focused on my writing and more, like, you know, in the house, you know, that type of stuff, I gave myself a lot of time to be away from, like, a, you know, like being in a group of people. Because sometimes as mothers, what I found is, like, if you have a bunch of moms, like, specifically, you know, I have a 16-year-old, that's my oldest. When she was younger, I would be, like, in a group of women, and I would kind of gauge who I was based upon who these other moms, and you kind of keep tabs about, like, what their kids are doing and this and that. But then you don't want to be too different and stand out, because then you won't fit in with the group. And I kind of just decided, like, I didn't need to be in any sort of group, because I always kind of felt like an outsider my whole life, and part of that is just when you think a little bit differently. And so I use that as, like, a gift now, because now I can just kind of observe in a group rather than feeling like I always have to go along with the program. And it doesn't mean I don't feel like I you know, am loved by people, but I don't feel like I have to be like anybody else or fit into any type of group. I'm free to be myself in any environment.
And clearly being yourself really resonates with people, because you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people following you on facebook.com/peacelovejoysparkles. And, you know, I'm over there now, and people are being so supportive and saying, hey, you rock, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, how do you explain your popularity? I mean, is it just you're being your authentic self?
I think that's one of those things where if you said to me, like, I would put you on TV right now and make you a gazillionaire, but you couldn't be yourself, I would say, no, thank you. Because being authentic is, like, one of those things, like, when you talk about being a light worker. I know that one of my missions is to just, like, be who I am and be really authentic and real, because I don't want to be a persona, like, that I have, like, books out and I'm this person and I go to, you know, speak at conferences, but that's not really who I am. I am more, it's more important to me to be authentic and share what's in my heart so that it's really going to resonate with people. Because I feel like when you know somebody sharing something really from their heart, like an experience that they had, it affects so much more change. And so that's why I've been really honest about different, you know, things. And that was something that I had to consciously decide, like, how much do I share of, you know, my struggles with people? Like, do I want them to know how much I've struggled? And it's like, of course I do, because it's going to help someone else. Because if you write a book on how to be happy, okay, and you're like, I've been happy my whole life, and here's a book on how to be happy, it's like, I don't want to read your book.
Right.
Just like people all the time when they see, like, before shots of when I was heavier than I am now. Like, I was probably, like, I don't know, 50 pounds more than I am now, even though I'm pregnant now. And they're like, we want to know how you did it, because you want to find out from somebody who's been through something, who understands what you're going through. And it's like that relatable factor. So I think that there's something about me that people can relate to. You know, whether or not they're very different than me, they can relate to me. And part of that is, like, I'm willing to just, like, open my heart and let the words pour out. And that's how I kind of feel like my writing is.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that I tell, you know, the radio show hosts here on the Angel Radio Network is be yourself. And I actually encourage them to make mistakes, because mistakes is how we learn. But also it makes you more relatable to the audience. Nobody can relate to perfection, because none of us are perfect. So we can definitely relate when somebody trips on their tongue or says the wrong word or pushes the wrong button and plays the wrong song. I mean, we can totally relate with that. And, you know, I just find it fascinating that you're also on the same path. And I think so many of us are. We want to feel supported. And you were mentioning that one of your missions is the non-competition with women. So tell me about that.
Yeah, actually, somebody just somebody actually before we were on air showed me my one poster went like so viral, and it's gotten posted on different websites and everything. And the only thing that bothers me about it is not crediting my name, because when you're a writer, people don't get that. Like, that words are your commodity, and this the good thing about it is that certain things that happen, I'll use as a teaching lesson for my kids. So like I said, you know, look at all these times that people will share this poster of mine and they're selling stuff on their website or their Facebook page and they're not giving credit to me as the, you know, copyright, you know, original poster. And like we talked about integrity and how like important integrity is, and how like I would never put up a song and say, oh, I sang this, if it wasn't my song. And like those things are so important to me. And my kids know that, like, integrity means more to me than their grades. Like, you can, like, you can say, oh, I want to raise the next doctor. Well, I'm not with you there, because I'm like, there's enough doctors, and it's great if one of my kids wants to be a doctor, but I'm here to raise nice people, nice and happy people. That's my job. And, you know, want them to follow their passion, whatever that is. But it was about running my own race. I run my own race. I don't have it in front of me to read. But it says, I'm in competition with no one. I run my own race, blah, 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 like that. And it was inspired because I was running on the treadmill. And I think it was either 3 or 5 miles. I never run more than 5 miles. To me, 5 miles is like the biggest marathon ever in the world, because I'm just not, you know, a runner. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, to me, that's such a great personal best. But then in my mind, I was thinking, there's people that run like 26 miles. And it's like, what does that have anything to do with me? Nothing. And it's about running my own race. And whether when it comes to book sales or anything, like, none of that has any bearing on me at all. And if I don't stay focused on my own race, I'm going to trip and fall. Like, I'm running my own race. And it's really just about me. So that I'm so glad that it's gone viral and that it's, you know, reached people, because it just goes to show you that competition, like some people, like they are like, I love competition. And if I'm playing Scrabble, that's the only time I get a little competitive. But when it comes to competition, I'm the type where some people would hate it, but I'm like, give everyone a trophy. Because to me, it's like when we're really focused on just our own personal best versus comparing ourselves to someone else, we're going to thrive. We are really going to thrive. And when I really did the inner work with myself, I realized, like, I had a lot of jealousy within myself, and I was comparing myself to other people all the time, and I kind of felt in competition with everyone, even my own mother, which sounds so bizarre. But, like, I would look at my mom, and I'm like, well, I think she was a better mom than me, or, you know, she did this better or that. Like, I was literally comparing myself to everyone. So then if you're comparing yourself to other people, you're in competition with them. And it's like, you could say, okay, well, I'm doing better than that person because their life is a mess. But then look at that person. Oh, they just bought a new car. You're never going to win. And also, it's really dishonoring to other people. It's very dishonoring to compare yourself to them, because it's like, then you're like, you kind of make them your adversary. And I'm all about, like, I cheer every woman on. I want every author to do good. I don't want to say, like, my book is better than anybody else's, because you're not going to read just one book in your life. And I don't believe that there needs to be any sort of competition with any other woman in the world, or man for that matter. It's like there's just no need for it. Because if I'm focused on doing my own personal best, I'm going to help so many people. But if I'm focused on what someone else is doing, it literally drains my energy. And when you look at it as, like, from a spiritual, you know, viewpoint, your life force energy, that's so draining when you go into, like, the competition. It just, it will drain you.
I wrote something about this a couple of years ago, and it got a lot of interest. Comparisonitis, and I really do feel depleted, and I lose my energy when I'm looking at, oh gosh, she does that, or that's so clever, or I could never do that, whenever my insecurities start raising their ugly head, you know, it really zaps me of any real energy that I have to put into the work that I'm doing. And it's a lose situation. It's just a total loss. So I love what you were saying about competition. I'm still looking for it. I'm seeing all these really clever things that you do. How do you make these, like, you know, the little, what do you call
like the
them?
Posters?
Like, yeah. They're your little posters.
They're called I don't know if it's memes or mayonnaise. It's M-E-M-A. I did not come up with it, but it's a funny name. I used one website, and then I just haven't had time to be on my computer as much because the kids being out of school. So I found, right. You know, some programs like on my cell phone, and I just kind of started creating them on my cell phone. I don't think I'm technically savvy, but then like I'm nope. like sometimes I'm like, okay, I have figured out some really cool stuff, you know.
I want to talk to you later about these because I have an idea definitely. For this, and I don't want to tell it on the air, but I think everybody should stay tuned. But I love this one, like, don't defend your awesomeness, just radiate it, and never apologize mm-hmm. for loving, respecting, or honoring yourself. And then I love the one about the one that you wrote recently about the G in your for your maiden name is for gratitude, gorgeous mm-hmm. goddess. And I mean, it's just like so empowering that you just love yourself and you're unapologetic about it. You know, like you're
yeah.
we're
mm-hmm.
you know, we're so used to say, I mean, women in general are so used to deferring and what's the word, you know, basically just going, well, thank you, but I don't really deserve that compliment. You know,
oh,
like we sort of
yes,
brush it aside.
Yes, you deflect it. You totally
deflect,
do. And like if someone said, and I've said that to people, like this is what cracks me up. Okay, I remember saying to like a little girl, I was like, you have beautiful eyes. And she says, I know. And I'm like, yes, that is the
exactly.
best answer ever. Like, and but if you say it to a woman, they will deflect the compliment. And
I mean, they
I
go, oh, but I'm so tired.
Like,
I can't believe you can even
I
say
know,
that.
I know, and I don't
so
do
ugly.
That. Yeah. And, and I don't do that. I think it's like take it in. Because you know what? Honestly, if you think about it, it's like when the person's giving you a compliment, they want to give you that gift. And it feels really good if you say something to someone and, like, their face lights up. Like, I remember coming out of a CVS. And this lady, just she had her outfit. She was rocking it. She had, like, the whole little outfit on. And I have, like, 25 kids with me, as usual, you know, huffing into the CVS. And I'm like, where did you go? I'm like, you got that style going on. And, like, her face lit up. And it can be literally
yeah.
you can compliment somebody on their umbrella. And their face changes. And it's
yes.
a gift for me and it's a gift for them. But the thing that the whole thing about self-love is I think that it was like we were taught that you can love yourself, but only so much. And that
yeah.
is the idea of these flawed premises, like the word, you know, perfect and the word selfish. Like I said, I don't believe that there's such a thing as selfish in my world anymore. I don't call my kids selfish. I think, honestly, we're all kind of selfful. Now, I get what they mean about selfish behavior, but to me, when I was a kid, like when someone will call you selfish, it just made you feel so awful. And it's like, what does that even mean? Like, I just take that out of my vocabulary. And that's where the whole idea of self-love can rub people the wrong way when they don't understand that it's like when you truly love yourself, it's not from your ego. It's not about being narcissistic or egotistical because that means that I'm saying I love myself and I think I'm better than you, April, which is never what I would say in the world. I would say I love myself and I hope that you love yourself because you're awesome. And when
mm-hmm.
there's such a difference, it comes from spirit. And as a really spiritual person that I am, if I believe that I was created by a divine being, why am I going to say like now all these crappy things about myself? It's kind of dishonoring to God then, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like as long as you're saying it from spirit, that's where I'm coming from. It's like, of course
mm-hmm.
I love me. Why would I not love me? It's like it's the silliest thing not to love yourself. And
well, it's
we
so
could
disarming
say, well,
because it's a lot of us have been raised to think, well, that's conceited, you know. But really,
mm-hmm.
if it's a compliment on your looks or your hair or, you know, or your eyes or something, you know, actually it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with your parents. So
mm-hmm.
just say thank you. My parents, you know, gave them to me. Thank you very much.
Oh, I know. That was like my eyes. I'm like, my eyes, they're from my parents. But and
yeah.
you know what? If you look at it as, is that for me, like, I want to teach my children how to be people, okay? And I teach them by the way I am. Now, I can't tell my kids, you should love yourself, and then talk about what a piece of crap I am all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And beat myself up for mistakes that I make. Like, I make mistakes all the time, and I have some doozies, and I laugh about them. Like, one time when my daughter was young, I sent her to dress rehearsal on the wrong day. And, of course, I didn't make her go. We went, you know, like, I had just had a baby. But, you know, we went home, and she thought I was the worst mom in the world. She was like 4, and I felt really bad at the time. Well, now, when you get to child number 3, and I send him on the wrong day to pajama day, he was just like, well, you know, the kids kind of said stuff to me about my pajamas, and I was just kind of like, I think being resilient, going with the flow, is like the best qualities ever. So,
yeah.
And also, I didn't say, like, oh, I'm the worst mother ever. I was like, oh, well, bud, got to move on. Like, that to me, if I dwell on myself and I should be a better parent and I should have a calendar better organized, I'm teaching them that when you make mistakes, you need to beat yourself up and that you need to be perfect and you can never make any mistakes. So it's like, I want to teach them how to be a person. And if I say, love yourself, I better love myself or else that, you know, they're not going to follow my advice. It's the same thing as with my book. You know, there's been a lot of hiccups along the way, and it's been, you know, very hard. But I could say to my kids, follow your dreams, or I could show them, and I could go after my own dreams.
That is beautiful. That gives me chills, what you just said. Wow, I love that.
Thank you. And that's really, you know, but I want other women to realize, like, it sounds like so cliche, but I did this for the moms. Like, I wrote this for the other moms that are going to say, you know what, if she wrote this book with 4 kids at the time, then I can do this other thing, whether it's a hobby. Like, having a dream doesn't mean that it has to be this big, giant thing and that you want to be the next Oprah. It's just about, like, following your passions, that type of thing. But don't put yourself on the burner as a mom and say, I'm going to raise my kids and not fulfill what's in my heart until they get older, because it's never going to happen then. You can do these things simultaneously. It's just a matter of, like, people say, you know, like, how do you find the time for things? We all, if we want to do something, we find the time for it. We always do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It's just a matter of, like...
Yeah, I love what you're talking about, and I want to continue this. I'm going to play a song here and then take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want you to talk more about all of the things that we've been discussing, and we're going to go into more detail. And I was going to play one song, and then I was thinking about your kids, and there's this great song called Grounded by Chris Assad, and I'll put his link on the Angel Radio Network Facebook page in a little bit, but it's actually for my friend Gail Carruthers. She wrote the song for her children, and it's called Grounded, and I dedicate this to your family. So here we go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
From the ground, you've got to keep.
listening to the Angel Radio Network. If you'd like to call in to speak to the host or the guest, please call 714-242-5256. That's 714-242-5256. You can also post a question at facebook.com/angelradionetwork. That's facebook.com/angelradionetwork, or give us a call at 714-242-5256. Are you a light worker, angel reader, intuitive, or energy worker? Would you like to receive training and coaching to teach you how to host your own internet radio show? Hi, I'm April Reynolds, the CEO and founder of the Angel Radio Network. If you'd like to have your own internet radio show, please contact me today at info@angelradionetwork.com. We're changing the world by enlightening the world one radio show at a time. Have you always wanted to learn how to become a published author? Now you can with my easy-to-use program, Manifest Your Book Now. It's an instant downloadable class that gives you my secret formula and even a template for writing and publishing your book. Go to www.aprilreynolds.com to learn how you can achieve your dream of becoming a published author today. You're listening to the Angel Radio Network. And now, back to the show. And welcome back, everyone. I'm back. And before we return to my guest, Jenny Perry, I want to tell you to be sure to listen to the shows that we have here on the Angel Radio Network. On Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Corey Milner with In Transformation with Corey Coaching. And on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have The Healing Apprentice with Louis Otero. And Wednesdays, yes, at noon, we have numerologist Stephanie Campione with Coaching by the Numbers. For more information, go to facebook.com/angelradionetwork, or you can go to angelradionetwork.com for more details. So I want to go back to my guest, Jenny Perry. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
What did you think of that song?
I liked it, and the baby kicked.
Oh, the baby liked it, too. Okay, so how far along are you with your pregnancy, by the way?
I am 19 weeks, so we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. We find out on Tuesday. It's like everyone's speculating. We don't know. A girl and three boys, so everybody wants a little girl because, you know, they want to do the leopard and the tutus and everything, and I'm just going to guess it's going to be a boy, so I'm prepared because I'm like surrounded by boys all the time.
I know, me too. I had three boys myself. Are you going to tell everybody on Tuesday?
Oh yeah, I don't care if everybody knows. I am not Kim Kardashian. Okay, no. I will let everybody know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
No Northwest
too,
for you.
No. No.
Okay. Good.
Well,
boy, I'll stay tuned.
If it's a boy, we're going to name him Declan, which means full of goodness. So how cool is that?
That's
I know. Wow. I know. Full of goodness. I'm like, that rocks.
Full of goodness. You could name it for a boy or a girl. You could name that.
I know.
Anyway, that would be very Jenny-licious of you. And today you said you were sparkle pink-licious or pink sparkle-licious. Which one was it?
Yes. That's what I think
one.
It was. It was sparkle pinklicious, I think it was, because I have on these sparkly pink pants.
And I you said everything is pink, like even your bedroom. Doesn't your husband mind about that?
No, my bedroom is not pink. It's actually like a light aqua. My favorite colors are definitely aqua, purple, and pink. We don't have a pink room. In my book, though, the lead character's name is pink, and she does have a pink room. So I got my pink room somewhere.
I was reading a little bit of the Jennifer's, which is on Amazon and Kindle. And where else can you get JennyGPerry.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's JennyG, G as in gratitude, Perry, P as in Paul, ERRY.com. Okay. Right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think I was confused because in the Jennifer's there is a pink, and she has a pink bedroom. So is that book truth or fiction? What is that book?
No, it's fiction. It was I love talking about writing to other people because I feel like everybody can write. It's just a matter of, like, it's literally the same as the way I live my life. You cannot even think about anybody else in the equation. You're just going to write and let yourself go with it, and that's what I had so much fun doing. I thought it was going to be six different Jennifers written from six different point of views, but this one character, Pink, it just, like, it took off and became her story, and it was just like it's very interesting. Once you create characters, they start to talk to themselves and start to, like, kind of create their own little world. And I have one Facebook friend of mine who's so supportive. I have so many people on Facebook that are so supportive; it's unbelievable. And was like, one day she posted some little nuggets that were in the book, and it's like, was not, you know, meant to be like a spiritual book, but of course there's, my sister says, there's, like, each one of the Jennifers is a part of me, because there's one, her name is Crystal, and she's like the new age woo-woo one, which I'm totally, you know, the new age woo-woo one, but then I'm sparkly like one of the other ones, you know what I mean? So I think it is kind of like multiple personalities. But,
I was going to say, it's like empty, okay, it's just a little bit.
Yeah. I don't see myself in all of them, but I can see, like, what they mean. You know, wearing leopard and stuff.
Right. But it's fun when you write a book, and this happened to me as well, and I think it happens to all authors. The book really does kind of take on a life of its own, and it's kind of like the book is writing you after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, my experience. So I love that. And my books are about being happy. And when I saw that you posted in the news feed, I guess it was just yesterday or the day before, that the movie Happy, you had just watched it with your husband. And I was like, Tom Shadyac did another movie? I didn't know that. And Tom Shadyac wrote, he did the movie I Am. And that just, that is fabulous. So so with your, because you were so thrilled with Happy, I went in onto Netflix today and just sat in my recliner and kicked back in the middle of the afternoon and watched it. And it was fabulous.
Wasn't it? To me, like, that's so about what me and my husband are about. And it's like, I love when you see something that, like, is more mainstream and confirms what you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes. Yeah. Yes, because I you know, I'm a huge proponent of exercise or some sort of physical movement in the way of, like, being good for your psyche. And, like, they're talking about all the biological things that happen from it and about meditation. And it's like the things sometimes that you just know that work for you, and you don't even need scientific evidence. But I really actually love science in the way of when it, you know, comes to quantum physics and stuff that is spiritual. I love how those two come together and people don't realize it. And so I thought there were so many really cool things. And one of the things from Japan that they talked about was, I can't even say the word, it was like I-C-H-I-B-A-C-H-O-D or something like that.
I don't know what that word is either.
Yes. Well, it was women that were all together at the senior center, and they were talking about, it's like when you meet another person, like, you're already family, you already know each other. And that,
yeah,
like
a karmic connection.
So cool. Yes, it's like, and that's how I feel. Like, I would rather have no BS when it comes to relationships. Like, you know, where you chit chat, and you can know people for 10 years and not even know them because there's no heart centered, you know, type of conversations. Because I do understand people are afraid to let other people in, but it was just so cool to see in other cultures the way that they are very happy is by having these really rich relationships. And, like, how important that is. And that's why I feel so blessed to have such supportive friends, because it really does make a huge difference.
Yeah, what do you account your – I mean, I have two questions. I'm conflicted about which one to ask you. But let me ask you about the writing process. What is your writing process? And what do you have, like, a – how did you – how long did it take you to write that book?
It probably took me, I guess, 4 years.
Okay.
And then, like, the last, you know, like, I don't know, 6 months to a year was more like, you know, going through a publisher, like, you know, the self-publishing process and it coming back to me and different things like that. But it took me 4 years. I mean, what I would do is I myself personally, I don't follow anybody's rules on anything in life because I feel like, you know, you have to do what's best for you. So if someone tells you you have to write 2 hours a day, that's fine. But for me, I would, like, on my husband's days off, you know, I might, like, once a week go in my bedroom and put on headphones and, like, write for, like, 6 hours. And that would might be it for the week. Now, when I'm editing and doing things like that or, like, with the self-help book that I'm writing, it's like I can jot down ideas. But to really be in the full flow, I can't be doing that and have, like, a million other things going on. It just doesn't work for me. And I really feel like when you're in the zone, you are so much more productive. Like, you can get so much done when you're in the zone versus, like, forcing yourself. Like, the idea that you have to write every day. Like, I write every day, but not fiction. I'll write, like, I mean, when I'm in my kitchen, I just, for some reason, I'll just get things that start coming to me. And sometimes it's just spirit speaking through me. And I'll know that, like, this is meant for someone. And I'm like, and I'll get this kind of feeling like this is going to be big. Now, big to me is, you know, like, it's not, you know, viral, you know, in the world, but it's big on my page or, you know, on my Facebook profile. But it's more about, like, this is big for someone. Like, this is going to make a difference in someone's day. And I just go with it. And I don't worry about what people are going to think, if they're going to agree, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And time and time again, I will get someone to post on that link or message me that, like, they needed to hear that and that, like, just made their day or whatever it is. So, for me, like, the self-help stuff is definitely, it's like I just let it come through. Just let it come through. And I don't overthink it because sometimes if I think about how to word it so everyone's going to agree, it's impossible. That's like me watering myself down so that everyone in the world likes the version. It's just not going to work. And you're not really going to create change in people if you're trying to, like, think of what's in someone else's head. Like, that's where you just have to be yourself. And the right people, it's going to resonate with the right people. And that's how, you know, with the nonfiction writing, that's how it is for me. And now with writing my second novel right now, with that writing process, it's like I remember reading about writing from Stephen King where he talked about write it and then put it in a drawer and let it cook. And that's how I kind of feel. It's like the energy kind of has to percolate. And if you go back to something that you've written a couple months ago, you are amazed at how different you're writing it now.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of feel like you can't rush it through because I feel like it's almost like adding to the sauce, spicing it up. Like it's better if you take a little bit of time with it. You know, for a novel, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, I love where you go with all of this, and I just want to say I think that Jennifer's, the book, would make a great movie, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And it's very Sex in the City.
It is. It definitely. I say that it's like Sex in the City for moms at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
like,
it's like
written at the
Sex
Jersey
in the
Shore.
City meets Jersey Housewives. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
Totally.
I love it. I think it would make a good reality show, too, if you could find actual,
I
like,
know.
Right? And,
yes,
and,
well, and I always pictured it as a movie, and, like, I had so much fun writing it. That's where, like, it was just so much fun, like, writing certain scenes, but then I knew, like, there were certain scenes where I was like, oh, I can't believe that's going to happen again. Like, I'm the writer, hello. But it's the same with my second novel where, like, I've been, like, this one part, I was, like, avoiding writing, and I was, like, do anything like full laundry for God's sake before I would like, you know, write this one scene. And I'm like, because I don't want it to happen, but it's integral to the scene. It's just, it's such a fun process. It really, really is for me. I just love it. But
I'm so,
you know,
glad.
But the thing that I like to share is like the bumps along the road. Like last week, I think, I don't know, maybe it was only a couple of days ago, I looked on Amazon and there was a negative comment by somebody, you know, on the book. And
really?
It's like, you know, yes. And so this lady was like, I couldn't finish reading it. And so, first of all, this is the insights that came about for me. Because, of course, your ego, the first second, wants to, like, defend itself. Because that's, you know, what it is. And I didn't even go into that. It was more like very interesting, like, okay, well, the lady from 50 Shades Grey, she had a lot of negative criticism. So negative criticism is not bad. And I don't like every book in the world, so it's fine. And also, it's like people act from where they're at. So for somebody to post like a negative comment on something, it's not something I would do, but it's not even anything personal. So it's like really taking a step back from your work and not taking it personally. And it's so funny because when I gave this author's talk a couple of weeks ago, I talked about like how funny it is from somebody like myself who a couple of years ago, I would have literally done anything to not be judged. That was like the worst thing. Like if someone said a negative thing about myself, I would want to be in my house for a month. And if someone said something negative to me, I literally like for a whole week would think about it over and over and over. And I would like make myself wrong and beat myself up. And it would just like, it would devastate me because everybody's opinion mattered so much to me. And now it's so different on how I see, like, it's very liberating to put yourself out there.
But
like,
how did you do that?
Like,
how did you go from being so insecure and then now being so confident?
And like I said with the retraining, it's like really just taking everybody else out of the equation. It's like, this is my life. And like back to Wayne Dyer, what other people think of me is none of my business.
That's
and
right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, it is,
really.
Really.
It is. And the way other people are going to perceive me or my book or anything else, it's like we all have this lens. We all have this perspective. And it's like when you're arguing with someone, you're trying to get your point across. But from their shoes, from their life, from their perspective, there is no way for them to see it from your perspective. So it's pointless. That's where you just have to have a draw. Like, okay, we're just not going to agree here. And that's where it kind of comes from in that somebody's perspective about me has nothing to do with me. It's that's on them. And it's kind of like the idea of like what you say of others speaks volumes about who you are. And I think that's so true. Because when you notice, like I'll notice people's behavior and it's like if all they're doing is talking about badly about somebody, it's like what does that say about them? And some of this stuff I'm writing about like in my second novel where it's like kind of character things where if someone's talking about someone all the time negatively, it shows an insecurity within them. So it's kind of interesting to use that in a book, you know, like to show the sides of the personality in like, gossipy behavior and all that. And you know that's so draining. That is just, I mean, that's why one of the things I'm not involved in that kind of stuff.
It's a total waste of your energy to do that. Does it accomplish anything? I want to tell everybody about your YouTube channel because I went there and watched you talk about a variety of topics. I found it very enlightening. It's youtube.com/what? What is the handle?
I think it's Wildflower JP or it's Jenny DuPerry. I can't remember because, you know, when you make a YouTube, sometimes you're, like, stuck with a certain thing. I think if you look at first of all, you know what? You can get the link through my website, jennygperry.com.
Oh, is it on there? Okay, great. Okay, so go to jennygperry.com and click on her YouTube because you got a lot of really cool stuff on there.
I did a bunch of raps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a bunch of raps, and that was like, that was me just like, it's been through the past couple of years, it's just been like this putting myself out there more and more and just like bolder and like just wilder in a way where it was just like, I just kind of let myself do what I felt like doing and without any care for what other people were going to, you know, say or think. It was just really fun. Like, I wanted to make positive rap, so I was doing that for a while. It was just like, I would get them in the shower. It was really fun to do that.
Yeah, I like the one where you were out at the mall and you ran into somebody and they really needed your help. I can't remember how the story goes now, but it was so perfect in alignment with the law of attraction, which is what I write about in my books, and how you were there for this person. Can you tell that story briefly? Do you remember that one?
Yes. Sometimes I feel like I've been in situations where I just feel like I needed to be there, and it's like from an energetic standpoint for whatever it is, like, and I'm the type of person where I've been in situations where a stranger like winds up telling me all this information and we have like a heart to heart. And that's basically what happened where this lady, it was in a children's play store and this lady, I was shopping for a baby gift, a little, gift for my friend's daughter. And this lady showed up, she thought she was supposed to work that day and it wasn't her day to work. And, like, I could tell she was so upset. And I'm just very sensitive to other people's energy. And I shouldn't say sensitive. I don't say sensitive anymore because that means, like, more like I'm affected, more like I'm aware of it. And so she went in the back, and, like, I could tell she was upset. So I go in the back room, like, I don't work there, but I go in the back room. And I'm just like, are you okay? And I just knew. It's like just like it's like one of those light worker type of moments where you don't have to have the answers. It's like this. It's like being in the presence and having like love and light, you know, shine through. And she was telling me about how her daughter died, and it was through drugs and everything. And it was just really, you know, just being present with someone is so important in moments like that. It really, really was. And I just, for me, you know, I got really personal on that video where it's just like, I like to have no judgment when it comes to situations like that, because I know what path that I was heading down before I got pregnant with my daughter, and I did drugs, and it could have been me, you know, so I look at it as when, with her daughter, I didn't think, oh, well, you know, sometimes people would be like, oh, well, you know, her daughter, well, she, it was drugs, like it's less than, you know, rather than if it was a death from a car accident. I was just really present with this, you know, with that woman. It was a very, like, holy moment. I've had quite a few of those. And I always
I could
like
see that in your
like,
eyes when you were telling the story. It was like, you really got
it. Yeah,
I could see that.
And that's where, like, you never know when you really show up for people, like, how important that could be to the other person. And it's not a matter of, like, solving their problems. It's just about, like, being there, like, letting your heart be there with them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I've gotten other people to say, like, do more videos. So I have to do some more videos, you know, just like.
Well, and when is your baby due? Because then we'll expect even more from you.
I know. My baby is due on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yes.
What a fun birthday that would be. Okay. Yes. All right.
But I'll be induced before then because I have big giant babies, and they don't. And like I say, I'm not trying to win any Guinness World Book of Records on how big this baby's going to be. I'm 5 foot, and I'm like a little thing, and I have these 9 pound babies.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty substantial. Okay, and
I know my last one. They made me go a week early because he was already 9 pounds. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is New Year's Eve really only 20 weeks? Like, that's only 20 weeks away. I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's like a year away. And then I'm thinking, wait, no, that's just in 4 months. Okay. That's a time.
Yes,
the time just flies by, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. But you know what? When I found out I was pregnant this last time, I was like, well, I'm trying to promote the book and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And my one girlfriend, she, you know, texted me. She's like, you're going to be even more of a role model for people because it's, you know, because now you have 5 kids, you know. But
well,
and also, it, like, being a writer, I can do things from home. So that's really a good thing.
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And I love these little posters that say, like, what makes you happy, focus on that. And then you've got be full in heart, be open in mind, be light in mood, be joyful in spirit, be loving in being. How did you think of that one? That one's really cool, too.
The stuff just comes to me. It just, I don't know. It just comes to me, and I go with it. You know, I love it. And for me, it's like, I created the page because I wanted to, you know, be out there doing stuff, and without, you know, without having a blog or anything like that. I think I started my blog maybe at the same time, but it's like, it creates good vibes for me, too. Like, it's all about my focus, because if I'm going to post about positive things rather than getting up and saying something negative. If I get up and say something negative, that's going to set the tone for my day. So by me setting the tone, you know, on my page, it's like, it puts me in a good mood too. So it's a win-win. And I do believe it's all about focus, because it's like there's always ways to look at your life on what's going on. And that's where, like, the gratitude thing is huge. Because, like if in that movie Happy, you look at, like, this guy living in a hut and how happy he is because
I know.
He's like, well, you know, like, it only rains in a certain time of year and he's got neighbors he loves. People in America would be shocked if they looked at this guy and he's happy. It's like, how is that possible? But it's all about perspective. And I've really, really changed who I am in that way too, where I was always like, you know, like that, like hamster wheel of like, you always want to get further. And I still do. I still want things for myself, but it's like, you always got to check in every day and be grateful for what you have. Like if you have a roof over your head, you know, and that's the big thing with that for me is with women with their bodies. Because for me, I would, like, my stomach would be my area that I hated. And I would have to, like, I created this whole thing for myself where I put my hands on my stomach and I said, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I would say it three times at least. And I would, like, really feel it on a cellular level where I would feel like, wow, like, how powerful is that? Like, on a cellular level, I'm telling my stomach, like, I love you. And it was, like, such a really, it was beyond affirmations because it was like I wouldn't beat my stomach up anymore. Like, I was like, I love you. And I wouldn't talk bad about it. And it's just like it changed my whole relationship with my body because I decided to, everything for me is all about thinking differently, changing my perspective, tweaking things, and I try to get people thinking. And I was like, what would I think about my body if I were a cancer patient? And I was like, what would a cancer patient say to you? And all these people that, you know, are beating themselves up because, like, this diet didn't work or, you know, their thighs are too big or this or that. You have a dying cancer patient that would say to you, like stop. Like, your body's healthy. Like, what a gift it is.
Your body's so, healthy. Like, and live with it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Love it.
And also, like, you know, how many children, like, you know, to say, like, I've given birth to children, like, my stomach, like, this has grown humans in it, instead of being like, oh, it should be flat or blah, blah, like, and it's all about focus. And I'm telling you that if you change the way you think about it, it's like that's what matters more than any diet in the world because none of that is going to matter. And that I learned from losing 60 pounds and being more miserable than I was before I lost the 60 pounds. I was miserable because once I lost the weight, it was like the armor came off, and now I realize I really hated myself, and I was beating myself up about everything, and now it was like, okay, I fixed the outside, but now on the inside, I got this, all this other stuff going on, and I didn't deal with it, you know, so that is when I really, like, I was like, oh, wait, being thin isn't going to make me feel better, it's not going to make me love myself, and it's not, it's all about your inner work. It really is.
Right.
And when you decide to really think of yourself as beautiful, like, I feel like you change. Like, your whole being changes. And it's not about age. It's not about size. Like, that's an argument. You're using that as an excuse if you feel like, well, I'm not beautiful because I have wrinkles or because this or that. Because you know when you've met somebody who's, like, a little bit older, and like, you know, like, I'm older, like an older person. And they have this light about them that just shines. And you're just like, oh, my God, it's their energy. It has nothing to do with how many lines are on their face or anything like that. They are beautiful. And it's like it takes your breath away because you're like, oh, my God. It's like I say work on the inner you. Like, and then you, like, let your light shine. And that's what you're going to see rather than, like, doing everything externally. Like, that's putting a Band-Aid, like, on your soul. You know what I mean?
Wow. That was beautiful, Jenny. I love the words coming out of your mouth. And it just, you're being so authentic. You're being yourself and you're being so brave. And I just want to tell you, I was listening to you and I'm thinking Wayne Dyer would be so proud of you because, and I'm sure you know this one. Yeah. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that's exactly what you did. So you go, girl.
Thank you. I know. That's one of the quotes that did, like, totally. I would scribble things down, and I would try to saturate my brain with all this stuff, and I read, like, you know, Esther Hicks, you know, all Law of Attraction stuff, and I, like, for a couple of years, I was trying to do all this work, but it was, like, on a mind level. Like, I was trying to, like, through osmosis get it all the way down into my being, but it took, like, deliberate effort, and it's more like, it's just, like, any sort of habits, like, just like if you want to, say, get in shape and you're not in shape, it's not going to happen overnight. But it's like you get up and you make smart choices, like, what am I going to eat for breakfast? You know, how much am I going to exercise? Knowing that it's going to end up in a good place. But you can't give up on day two because it's not where you want. So it's the same with positive thinking. It's not going to happen overnight. And you're going to have, you know, negative thoughts that come up. But it's like you build the energy, and that's what I feel like I did with all this kind of stuff. Because, like, things are, it's like, you, like, you can hear a quote, and that's what I love, is you can hear a quote, and it literally, like, opens something up in your brain where you're like, oh, my God, like, that is so wild. Like, it rocks your world. I love that. And that's why, like, you know, some of this stuff is, it's like, if you really want to make changes, you read this stuff, because the rest of the stuff in the world, like on TV or whatever, is very much externally focused on how much money you have or what you look like. And if you really want to make the changes, you have to think about, like, what you're focused on your day-to-day. Like, what are you watching on TV? What magazines are you reading? Like, I love reading, like, the Oprah magazine. I like to do things that nourish my soul. And that kind of stuff has such huge bearing on how you feel. Because it's like, you can't be putting garbage in your mind and expect to feel good.
That's a big right there. That's an epiphany. And I just want to say, like, in closing here, because we're going to wrap up, I just love what you wrote on your – I wrote another thing that you wrote. You said, don't be afraid to love yourself completely, fully, madly, deeply, wildly, unapologetically, and unabashedly. Those that love you will cheer and think, well, it's about time you saw how awesome you are. Self-love is a concept of soul, not ego. Again, brilliant words, Jenny. Fabulous. I really think this. This is great. And thank you so much for being on the show. I just really love you. I think you're delightful, and you're so wise beyond your years. I cannot believe it. You're just like, you know, you're just in your 30s, and you are a very wise woman. So congratulations to that, and best wishes on the birth of your baby, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you. And I want you to write another book, definitely.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, it was my pleasure, too. And thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Jenny for being on the show tonight. It's jennygperry.com if you want to go check it out. And the name of her book, again, is The Jennifers. And it's available on Amazon and Kindle. I think we're all feeling more inspired, aren't you? I mean, I sure am. So thanks so much for listening to the Illuminating Love Radio Show. We'll be back next week with my guest, Michelle McGrath from sacredself.com.au. She's over in Australia, or down under in Australia. And this is the Angel Radio Network. I'm your host, April Reynolds. I'm wishing you a very joyful evening, and thank you again so much for listening. And here is Brave by Sarah Bareilles in honor of Jenny. Good night, everyone. You can hear me.